Thanks for tuning in to the Hope Church podcast. We hope that you're blessed and encouraged to walk out the gospel as you listen to this message.
Yes, welcome. Happy Thanksgiving. It's over, but I didn't probably tell you, so happy Thanksgiving. I hope you had a great time. If you love turkey, I hope you loved it. If you don't like turkey, I hope there was ham. So I'm excited. My name's Paul. I'm on staff here. Welcome everybody online and in the family center. You know, I was listening to the worship. I was actually reading the lyrics of the worship songs today. It was interesting. I was like, oh my goodness, like they're singing about the kingdom. Like I think we talk about the kingdom a lot, but then sometimes I don't know if we really, really fully know what that means. Like right now, I was sitting here, I was looking across this room, and I'm like, every single person in this room is a representative of the kingdom of heaven. When you walk into a space, the potential for the atmosphere to change is there. Just because you showed up. Because you represent a king. You represent a king. So we're going to talk about that today. Just a little bit. Don't get too excited, though. Seems like y'all are really excited about the kingdom. Woo! Okay, yeah, there you go. I feel good. You guys know how I do it a lot of times. Just in case I get off script, here's the punchline. When you leave here, wherever you go, you are there representing King Jesus. How you act, how you react, and how you think, it's serving the king. Sometimes we don't know because we're Americans, so we don't have a king. Actually, we fought not to have one. So sometimes it's hard. Like, oh, no, I'm not doing that again. But the reality is that we have to yield who we are to the King of Kings. Right? We say it. I say it. Oh, I can say it. I'm really good at saying it. But do I do it? So today, I think, if I had you leaving asking yourself a question, it would be this. Is Jesus really king? Is he really king? I had to ask myself this. Then I had to repent. Every time I start talking about the kingdom, which I talk about a lot because the reality is Jesus talked about the kingdom a lot. I don't necessarily always trust the internet, and neither should you, but I did Google it. And it says that Jesus mentioned the kingdom 162 times. That's 3 years of ministry, 162 references to the kingdom. Every time I think about the kingdom, I always say, this is my response a lot of time to people. They'll be talking about all the stuff that's going on, and I'll just be like, this ain't my kingdom. Like, I ain't got room for that in my brain right now. And it makes me think of this song that my grandma used to sing when I was a kid. I'm going to read you a couple of the lyrics of it. It's an old song. Some of you guys will know it because you're old. And some of you will know it because your grandparents sing it to you. I know it because I'm old and my grandma sang it. So there's this mix. But the name of the song was This World Is Not My Home. So I'm just going to read you the first verse of it because I think it establishes kind of what I'm talking about. And so this is the lyric to the song that my grandma sang when I was a kid. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Because back then you said in front of passing. It's like, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Like, I think sometimes we feel way too at home here. I know I can. I know I can. First, I want to say this. I feel like I need to say this today because I have a tendency just to tell you what the Lord's been saying to me, and sometimes he just says stuff to me that I have to, like, make a decision whether I'm going to be offended by it or not. Like, how many times has God said something to you and it hurt your feelings and offended you, and you're like, well, I don't want to hear that, God. I know, no, go ahead, it's true. I know, I do. I'm just telling you what he's telling me. So I want to tell you this. I want to challenge you today that as he speaks to us about what it means to serve a king, that it might unearth something in you. And you'd be like, no, 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 this ain't for me. What I've learned is a lot of times whenever I start with this wasn't for me, I don't think I'm supposed to say ain't. I'm from the Boot Hill. but that wasn't for me. The reality is it probably is. So just, it's okay. Like, he's actually working to make us a spotless bride. And whenever he's making us a spotless bride, he's got to pick some of the spots off. It's all good. We're all on this journey to be more like Jesus today than we were yesterday. We're going to mess it up because there is this kingdom. But the reality is that we represent a different kingdom. It's just a reality. So I just want you, if you start feeling those feels like, oh, I don't like that, it's all good. Jesus is doing a work. He's doing a work. Because what he wants is that when you leave this place, you change the atmosphere of where you show up. When Jesus showed up, places, the atmosphere changed. When Jesus showed up, peace came. When Jesus showed up, people got healed. That's who you are. You are a representative of the King of Kings. I know I talk about the grocery store a lot because I'm there all the time, especially this week. And I know I talk about traffic all the time because I'm in it a lot. I feel like you, I mean, come on, everybody drives, right? Those are like the hardest place to bring in the kingdom. They really are. But when I show up to the grocery store, I represent a king. People in this kingdom get mad whenever somebody's in their way picking groceries for those people that are online. I'm like, get out of my way. That's what people in this kingdom do. But people from the kingdom, well, we prefer others over ourselves. Like, when did you just start picking groceries for people, putting it in their cart for them? That was a joke. It did not land. That one did. So that's good. That's good. People from this kingdom lose their temper in traffic. But people from the kingdom of heaven, well, we know that we can't curse those people because we have to give account for everything we say. You know, there's many times that I will think something. What's funny, so because again, I'm getting way ahead of myself, but I got to say this. It's not my notes, but I got to say it because it's true. It's my journey. There's many times whenever I think things that I shouldn't think. And you know what Jesus says? He doesn't say, I wouldn't have thought that. He says, I wouldn't have said that. Because in the kingdom, when you think it, you did it. That's a whole nother message. It's in Matthew 5 through 7, if you want to know. That when you think, you did in the kingdom. People of this kingdom respond defensively and in anger when someone disagrees with them, including their spouses. Ow, like that one hurts. I had a moment around the Christmas tree yesterday that was not good. Guys, if you haven't done your Christmas decorations yet, just remember this. You serve a king. You got to remember it. I forgot it yesterday. Just ask my daughter. She's right there. Oh, she knows. She knows. Like I said, this is for me. Just like it's for you, we're all on this journey. He's making us a spotless bride. We get mad in this kingdom if we disagree with our neighbor, our political opponents. But the King of the kingdom of heaven says to walk in humility and gentleness. Ow. If I took a poll right now, I won't, unless you want to raise your hand. But if I said, who all in the room believes that Jesus is king? I would imagine, yeah, see? Because we, most of us, unless you're not a believer, and if you're not a believer, that's all right. That's why you're here. You're about to hear about a king of the universe that brings righteousness, peace, and joy. So it's all right if you don't believe in Jesus right now, but he has you here for a reason. But I imagine if you're a follower of Jesus, you'd be like, yes, Jesus is king. He's king. All hail King Jesus. But then I had to come to this place with him where he was like, what am I king of? And I'm like, well, you're the king of the kingdom. But is he king in my heart? I say he is. I sing it. You know, let the king in my heart. I sing it. But do I live it? Have I compartmentalized? I heard somebody say this. I was talking through this with somebody today, and they're like, we compartmentalize our submission. Like, yes, you're king of this. That was easy. Yes, you're king of that. But I don't know that I want you to be king of my political views. I don't know that I want you to be king of the amount of time that I spend on social media. I don't know if I want you to be king of the way that I respond to my kids when I think they're being disrespectful. That's the one I'm working on. I'm not sure I'm ready for you to be king of that. But here's the reality. If he's king, he's king. That's it. Like, there's no like, well, you can be king sometimes, like on Saturday. And I'll really let you be king on Sunday, especially when I'm getting the feels. Like, you get the feels through worship. You're like, oh, he's king. Then Monday comes. You're driving to work. All of a sudden, Jesus is in the back seat. I remember there used to be a bumper sticker when I was a kid. I'm really riffing right now. Sorry. And it said, Jesus is my co-pilot. That's how we drive. Like, why is he your co-pilot? Like, shouldn't he be flying the plane? I don't know. If I'm in a plane with Jesus, I'm giving him the wheel. Like, you got this. So we're like, Jesus is king on the days that I'm cool with it. Jesus is king in the moments that I'm okay with it. But he's not king all the time, at least in my life. I want him to be. I want him to be. Today, I want to take a few minutes and talk about what it looks like to serve a king. I want to answer the question for ourselves if we have fully committed our lives to serve the king of a different kingdom. What it looks like to bow my will and my agenda to the feet of the King of Kings. To allow his purpose to rule and to guide my life, my actions, and my reactions. But I think that if we're going to talk about the king, we got to talk about the kingdom. So we always talk about, like, your kingdom come. We talk about it. But what's the kingdom? So I looked it up. It's in the Bible. Romans 14:17 says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, although it was real nice on Thursday. Like, the turkey was good. I made it. I always like stuffing, but I missed out on homemade stuffing this year. My mom, it's good. It's my grandma's recipe. But that's not the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. How does that compare to this kingdom? Like, just think about it for a minute. Righteousness, peace, joy. It's the kingdom of heaven. Righteousness, peace, joy. I feel like that sometimes I talk to people and I don't, so let's just talk about me for a minute. I'm not pointing my fingers at you. We'll talk about me and then maybe you can relate. Like, sometimes I'm like, this doesn't feel like peace. This doesn't feel like joy. But that is the kingdom of heaven. So I have to align myself to the king if I want to see the kingdom. All through the Gospels, Jesus talked about the kingdom. In Matthew 5, he lays out kind of the law of the kingdom. Guys, I got to tell you, like, if you want to do a deep dive just to learn about the kingdom of heaven and who you really are and who we're supposed to be, Matthew 5, 6, 7. Just read those chapters for the rest of your life. Like, just dig in and stay there. Because you're going to be like, oh, snap! That's what we used to say, like, a decade ago. Maybe longer. I don't even know. He talks about all these ways of the kingdom, and when you read them, they're so different than this kingdom. They're actually, some of them are crazy. We're going to talk about them a little bit. They seem crazy, but I'm just going to start at the Beatitudes. I talked about this the last time I spoke, but I want to remind you, this is who you are as a kingdom person, okay? So we'll just run through them real quick. Poor in spirit. What that means is you recognize that you need God. I think we all are there, right? Oh, I need God. I know that. We know we need God. Those who mourn, those who are like, man, I'm sorry. I repent. You got to know you need God and repent. Then meek. He takes a huge left turn here. He's like, know you need me, repent, be meek. That one hurts me a little bit. I want to be meek. Hunger and thirst after righteousness, merciful, pure of heart, peacemaker. persecuted and falsely accused because of Jesus. We can jump to that one. You're like, can you believe that person pulled out in front of me in traffic? They must know I'm a Christian. They're persecuting me. Can you believe that? Can you believe that person took the last banana? That was my banana. They must know I'm a Christian. They're persecuting me. No. No. Jesus doesn't care about that banana. When I consider this list, it's glaringly obvious to me how different the mandates of the kingdom of heaven are from the way the kingdom of earth functions. And again, if I can remind you, we are representatives of the kingdom of heaven. That's who you are. Once you died to your sin and you rose again, you were born again, Jesus' righteousness made you righteous. So now you're a kingdom person, right? Righteousness, peace, joy. Let's remember those three words. I'm going to say them so many times today that you guys will not be able to forget them. You'll be eating at Qdoba because it's superior. I'm just thinking about Qdoba for a minute. Okay. We as kingdom people are light. Not because we're trying to expose darkness. We are light because of the way we think, we act, and we react so differently than the kingdom of this world. That's why we're light. They're like, what is wrong with that guy? Like, he's always got peace and joy. Why? Because I'm a kingdom person. That's what I want them to say. Like, I don't always act in a way that people are like, I bet he's a Christian. Actually, unfortunately, the way things are today, they probably know I am because I'm pulling over in front of them in traffic. They're like, oh, it must be a Christian. He's not very happy. He must be a Christian. That's not the life we're supposed to live. Righteousness, peace, joy. The way we live always points back to Jesus. We show others if he's the king or not. As kingdom people and children of the king, we act, we react, and we think like the king of heaven, Jesus. A conviction that I've had is that if I'm not choosing to respond to the rule of the king, am I actually even serving him? When I started on this journey of understanding what it looked like to represent the King of Kings, I didn't always get it right, but the journey of bringing the kingdom, I started at the Lord's Prayer. You guys have all heard it. I'm only going to read a portion of it, just the very beginning of it. It's Matthew 6, 9 through 10, two verses. And Jesus is instructing the disciples, he's teaching them how to pray. So sidetrack, if you're like, bro, I don't know how to pray. Like, this is all new to me, or I've been a Christian for 30 years, but I haven't figured out the pray thing. Like, first of all, just talk to him. Like, he's a king that you can sit with. And then if you really don't know what to say, just go to Matthew 6 and learn the Lord's Prayer. Learn the way Jesus taught his followers to pray. And here's what he says, just the very beginning. He said, pray then like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed, which means holy, revered, honored, be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As it is in heaven. Like, what does that mean? Then I start asking myself, like, how is it in heaven? Is there sickness in heaven? No. I mean, I hope not. Is there impatience in heaven? They're like, we've been waiting on you to get here. We didn't think you were going to show that one time. We didn't know. Is there pride in heaven? Is there anxiety or depression in heaven? Is heaven concerned with our political agenda of this kingdom? Is there social media in heaven? I hope not. Like, I, you know what's sad is I talk so bad about it, but then I still look at it. I'm not judging you, right? I gotta know where to get my news. I get my news from Facebook. That was a joke. It was a sad joke, but it was a joke. Being kingdom people, sons and daughters of a king, should look different than this kingdom. Today, I want to talk about three areas that should be affected when we represent a kingdom that's righteousness, peace, and joy. First, how we act. As servants of the king, we actually act differently than servants of this kingdom. Philippians 2:3, it says, just a couple of scriptures to talk to you about how I think the Lord's telling me I'm supposed to act. And since I'm just another follower of Jesus, I think this might be for all of us. Philippians 2:3 says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. I mean, that's what Jesus did. If we're following the King of Kings, well, he died for sins he didn't commit. So he considered you over him. Ephesians 4:1 through 3. I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord. This is Paul in prison. A lot of times he's writing letters from prison. I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. He's writing this to you. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. One way that needs to be affected by the fact that we follow a king is the way we act. I'm still learning this. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Walk in a manner worthy of your calling. We're kingdom people. We have to walk like it. We have to act like it. Eager to maintain unity. We live in a society that's so founded in division, cancel, hate. It should be easy to look different if we're really serving the king in the way we act. It actually should be easy to look different because it's so opposite the kingdom here. It's so opposite the kingdom of heaven. But what about a kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy? It sounds nice. A kingdom where we walk so much in peace that it actually brings peace to the earth. You know that you have that kind of authority? The reality is, I'm going to tell you a story how I saw it happen, but the reality is that because you serve a king that's superior to this kingdom, when you serve him and you walk out in your actions the kingdom of heaven, it actually can change the atmosphere. This is not my notes, but I'm going to say it. So yesterday, whenever my daughter and I are kind of battling around the good old Christmas tree, and I'm thinking, never again. We're burning the Christmas tree. We're never doing Christmas again. I had an opportunity to go way low. And you know what would have happened? Peace would have came. It would have. See, we're peacemakers, part of the kingdom. We're making peace. This kingdom, I get it. Like living here, this kingdom got ruined by the original sin. But guess what? Jesus. He died for all that, right? I understand, though. It's noisy. There's a flat pier. It's noisy. I'm not just getting like a holy shake. Oh. Woo! Is it good? No, there's a fly. I understand that this kingdom will affect the way we feel because it's noisy, it's opinionated, and proud. There's lots of pride. It'll push you and pull on you and to conform you. But I'm not talking about feels. I'm about to get real Holy Ghost on y'all. I'm talking about what's real. The truth is that we are kingdom people, and we can, by the power of the Holy Spirit, who's in you, represent the King of Kings in the way we act and actually bring the kingdom to that moment. So I think I told you guys this story, but I'm going to tell you a new revelation I had out of it. I'm going to try to tell you without reading it. I did type it down, but so I think I told you this last time I spoke, but there's been, you know how sometimes God will say something and then he'll process it with you for like, well, sometimes a couple of weeks, sometimes 10 years. It just depends. But he processed this story with me more of what he did. So I want to tell you this, like, I want you to always assume he's doing something. Like, I know I tell stories, you're like, that doesn't even sound like something that, a Jesus story. But the reality is, I acknowledge him in all my ways. Like, I want to talk about him. I want to tell you what he's done in my life. So, I'm driving to South Carolina. That's a long drive. And I hadn't had this God had talked to me about this, but I had not decided to serve the king in this matter yet. You know, sometimes he'll tell you, like, don't do that. Or, man, you should do this. But then you still do whatever you want. Right? I do that too. But when I've since decided to submit to the king in this matter. But I'm driving to South Carolina, and I mean, everybody's going like 190. Like, not really, but like 90 for sure. And so I'm just hanging out in the passing lane, going like 90. And there's big semis in the right side, and I'm just passing. But then, you know, everybody's going 90, so eventually you're just going 90, and you're still stuck in traffic because everybody's going 90. Well, then every once in a while, there'd be that person that just comes flying up on the side and then wants to get in, and I'm like, no. Like, I've been here. This is my spot on the highway. And I get so upset. Like, I know this doesn't happen to anybody else. I feel like sometimes I'm the only person that has issues in traffic. I'm like, God, help me. So I'm driving, and I'm like, no, like, no, wait your turn. Like, I've been on this road for 10 hours now. This is my highway. And they come up, and they want in. I'm like, no, get behind me, Satan. But then Jesus, King Jesus, was like, why don't you just let them in? Like, he's so chill like that. He's like, why are you so worked up? Like, why are you so anxious about this guy? My family's getting upset with me. My wife's like, you know, they can't even hear you. But the kingdom of heaven, he was like, I wouldn't have said that. Like, actually, I would just prefer him over me. I'd actually consider that guy better than yourself. So I was like, oh, I can't do it. So I let off the gas, and I let him in. I'm like, what's that? That feels like peace. Whoa, I'll do it again. So the rest of the trip, I'm just like slowing down, letting people in. Like, everybody, just come on in. And you know what happened? It brought peace to my heart. Because the kingdom of heaven is righteousness, peace, and joy. It brought peace to the inside of my van. I'm not worked up. My wife's not worked up. The kids aren't worked up. Peace. It changed the atmosphere in my van. Because I followed the king. Oh, and then, instead of making the guy mad because I wouldn't let him in, he's like, oh, dang, he must be from a different kingdom because he let me in. Most people don't do that around here. So I brought peace to his car. And then I don't know what else happened because the reality is God's always doing a work, but what if that changed something in him where then he stopped being so dang aggressive? The kingdom of heaven came. Because I follow the king. Righteousness, peace, joy. You're a peacemaker because you're a kingdom person. When you show up, the atmosphere changes if we're following the king. If we're submitting our will and our agenda to him, it actually changes the atmosphere, just like it did when Jesus was here. I'll tell you another story. Not yet, though. Yeah, we're there. Two. Sorry. The second way that we allow serving a king to affect in our life, it's the way we react. So one is the way we act. Two, the way we react. Luke 6:27-29. But I say to you who hear. Everybody hear? Y'all hear me okay? Okay, so everyone who can hear. Love your enemies. You heard it. Do good to those who hate you. Weird. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. To the one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. There you go. From the one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic. I don't know if any of y'all wear tunics. But we'll talk about what that means here in a minute. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Love your enemies. The reality is, let's just get real. People really aren't your enemies. Like the Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Like the enemy of our soul is our enemy, but people aren't. Like the enemy wants to make us think that they are. And for the context of this, maybe because we think they are, I'm going to tell you to love them because Jesus said it. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who abuse you. If they take your coat, give them your shirt. Like, kingdom people, it's possible that we would just be walking around without any shirts on because we gave them all away. Hopefully not. Hopefully no one steals my coat. I think it's in my office right now anyway. What does loving our enemy look like when we're serving the King of Kings? So I'll tell you a story. I got two stories from my last job. I'm going to talk about that sometimes because I was there for almost 20 years. So I got lots of stories. And sometimes I have stories about how I mess things up. But these are stories. These aren't about me, but these are stories the Lord remind me of how I actually bowed my will and my agenda to the King of Kings. So I want to share them with you. First is a story. I had worked really hard to climb the ladder. Like the older you get, you're just kind of like, that ladder is a joke. No offense if you're on the ladder, but come talk to me. So I'm convinced that the ladder, the kingdom of heaven, actually goes down instead of up. But I was climbing it. I was really good at it too. Like I never stepped on people, but I had no problem like going around you. Like that's my rung up there. I'm going to take it. And so I was climbing, and somehow this other guy got hired. He wasn't really my boss, but he was like in the way of the next rung for me. Like something was weird there. I didn't like it. And he didn't know anything about the company. Like I'd been with the company at that point probably for 16 or 17 years. And I was like, I knew everything about the company. And he didn't know anything. But yet I had to kind of go through him to get to the CEO. And usually I just went straight to the CEO. It was weird. I didn't love it. I was anxious about it. I was mad about it. I was really upset about it. Like I couldn't sleep about it. It bothered me. And I remember I would tell the CEO, like, what are you doing? And I would even tell this guy. I mean, I would tell him, I was like, bro, like, I don't even get it. Like, I don't even know why you're here, honestly. Yeah, I know. It's rude. Doesn't sound like Jesus, does it? I'd complain to my wife about it. I'd complain to my friends about it. And then one day I was praying, because that's kind of where I got. It's unfortunate, but sometimes we do a lot of running our mouths, and we forget we should have just started at praying. But then we realize that running our mouth didn't do anything, so then we pray. And Jesus is like, okay, finally. And what he said to me was this. He's always so, again, he's just cool. He's like, why don't you help him? I'm like, I don't want to help him. But that was really my only choice. So I was like, okay. So I started creating things to help him understand how the company worked. He would call me with things I knew they were wrong, and I would correct him, and I would say, no, do this. Actually, here's the strategy you want to use when you go into that meeting. You want to say this. You don't want to say this. You want to bring this. I started helping him. I started helping him develop his understanding of the company they worked. And the guy that I saw as my enemy, the Lord told me to serve him. And I did. And it changed our relationship. And guess what it did for me? See, what happens is when you give up control, you actually gain authority. That's the kingdom. Like, I gave up control in the traffic, but because I gave it up, I actually was in, I had the authority. I was like, I will move out of the way and allow you in. The kingdom of heaven came. So in this moment, because the Lord's like, hey, instead of being upset about this guy, actually, why don't you teach him everything about the company? Because you know what the Lord knew? I wasn't going to be there much longer. Like, here I am, right? So he knew. He knows. Secondly, same company. I got promoted to this job that I was in, and I was promoted over people that had been my peers. So maybe you've experienced this. I'm only telling you stories, so I hope you can relate to them. So But I was the most tenured person. So I was up for that promotion, whatever. But this guy didn't like me, which I know is hard to believe. But he didn't like me. And partly because I had replaced his friend who had been our boss. And so he decided to get a couple of other people together, and they started making up these stories about me that weren't true. Do you know what's really hard is when people are saying things about you that aren't true, and Jesus says, don't defend yourself. Oh, but that's what I'm good at. I'm really good at defending myself. But the king said, let me do this. I got this. So it kind of got out of hand. I didn't defend myself, but ultimately I had to go to the corporate office and have a conversation with the CEO, and I was like, here's the thing, man. And my old boss, he was very much this way. Let's just call him. I was like, oh, no, don't do that. So he just called him. We're on speakerphone. He's like, hey, you guys been saying this about Paul. He's saying it's not true. What evidence do you have? Oh, you don't. It's over. And it was done. Jesus just like that. And you know what? At that time, I had the power and the authority to fire those people. I was their boss. I could have said, you know what? You made up stories about me. You're gone. But I didn't. Jesus was like, no, 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 no. I got this different thing I'm doing. Like, you could get rid of them, but then what? How are you going to be a kingdom representative to them if you just get rid of them? So I kept them on. And then what? The ringleader of that crew had something come up where he got discriminated against. And I was his number one advocate. And I fought for him. That's the kingdom. That's the kingdom. The kingdom is where you fight for your enemy. You love your enemy. You pray for the one who abused you. In our kingdom, the king actually died for us. We die to ourselves, we bow to the king, and then he does a work. And so ultimately, I have this relationship with a guy who made up stories about me, doesn't like me, I defend him, and he ultimately leaves, because that's how God does. He's like, he didn't make me fire him, he just left. But then I was able to give him a reference, he got another job, it all worked out. All the while, I got to bow my will to the King of Kings. It's a kingdom of righteousness, peace, enjoy. Do something else. This is a sidetrack. Do you realize that because you're a kingdom person, you have access to kingdom strategy that no one in this kingdom knows? Like, it's secrets. Like, you can access it and bring it to the company you work for. It happened hundreds of times in my last company. Like, I would be in a meeting with a CEO. I wouldn't really know what the answer was. They bring a problem, and immediately I would just say, blah, blah, blah. That's what it sounded like. I don't even know what I said. Like, sometimes when God talks through you, you don't even know what you said. Like, people would be like, oh, I really liked what you said. I was like, I don't remember saying that, which is awesome. You have access. The way you respond, you have access to how Jesus is going to respond. The way you think, you're going to have access to the way he thinks. You can bring. So if you're a business owner, if you're a leader in your company, whatever it is that you're doing, you can actually every day pray for wisdom and kingdom strategy. I did it every day. I still do it every day. And he just gives it to you. And you won't. It's so subtle, you won't even realize it. But then you're going to be like, I could never have thought of that. I think that every day. I could never have thought of that. But Jesus knows. The King of Kings knows. This is just a little fun thing for me. I'm thinking about, like, the kingdom. Like, when we talk about reacting, like, what if in this kingdom we brought the kingdom of heaven to this place? Like, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Like, when it came to our, I was just imagining what that could look like political ads. Like, what if I was running for mayor of Nixa? My name is Paul. I'm running for mayor of Nixa. Not really. And I ran ads for my opponent. For my opponent that actually talked about how I was praying for him. And I actually focused on the things that I liked about my opponent. And at the end, it would be like, this is Jesus, and I approve this message. Like, what if we lived in a way that it always ended, this is Jesus, and I approve this message? Like, that looks like the kingdom. What if, this is something I've really been working on. This is like a, this what I'm getting ready to say, this has been a couple of years in my brain. But like, what if business leaders, like, what if you actually helped your competitor? Like, what if you're like, hey, bro, like, next time you run a commercial, I wouldn't do it like this, but here, I got some strategy for you. Let me help you. We actually helped the people that we consider our enemy. We actually helped them. We prayed for them. We pray for our competitor. We pray for the people who are doing what we're doing. Instead of looking at them as someone who's trying to take our money, we see them as someone that we can represent the kingdom to. This is what the kingdom of heaven looks like. As sons and daughters of the king, we react differently. We act and we react differently. Number three, there's only three. As sons and daughters of the king, submitting to the king should affect the way that we think. This is a hard one. This is probably a longer one, but I want to read Romans 12 to you. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by the testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. There are so many things that affect the way that we think. This kingdom is full of triggers that cause us to think people don't like us, that we're not good enough. We have shame that comes from this kingdom to make us believe that we'll never become everything we were created to be, or that we've messed everything up. The battle in your mind is powerful. There's books written about it. We dwell and focus on things that may not even be true. Like, what are you thinking about? I put a little note in here because I was going through my notes this morning and I just was reminded of something, and I want to talk about it just for a minute because I've experienced it in my own life. I've definitely, this is something the Lord, I've submitted to the king, and it doesn't bother me anymore. But I talk to all kinds of people here and outside of here. I'm always talking with people, and I hear a consistent thing, and I see it as an attack of the enemy against our minds. So I just want to talk about it for a minute. I mean, it'll be really short. And this is for the married folk. So I've seen this in my own life, and I see it in people that I know, in friends that have been divorced, friends that are still married struggling. And it's this. We start thinking that we know what our spouse is thinking. We start thinking, well, they don't love me anymore. If they loved me, they wouldn't have said that. And you start creating this whole scenario in your mind that's not true. So I don't know why I added the word marriage to my notes today, but it might be for you. It may not be for me. For you, it used to be for me. And it's this. Just talk. You start creating scenarios, and it actually pushes you away because you have power in your mind. Like Jesus says, when you think you did. I'm back there again. He says that when you lust, you committed adultery. He says that when you're anger, you'll suffer the same judgment that if you murdered someone. Like, in your mind. So what you think affects how you act. It affects how you react. So I'd almost say that allowing the King of Kings to affect the way you think is primary to the way you act and the way you react. But I want to encourage you guys, if you're married and you're struggling and you've created this scenario in your head, it's just not going to work. He doesn't love me anymore. She doesn't love me anymore. And because what happens is every little thing they do or don't do then becomes it becomes a confirmation. You're like, oh, yep, I knew it. I knew it. He didn't empty the dishwasher. He hates me. Oh, I knew it. I knew it. She didn't give me a kiss when she left. She really hates me. She doesn't want to be buried to me anymore. Bow your mind to the King of Kings. Submit your marriage to the King of Kings. Lay it at his feet. Philippians 4:8. Whatever's lovely. This is just a pretty, I feel like whenever I read this, I see butterflies. I do. whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. You got to shift. I think Pastor Gary used to say this. You got to shift your stinking thinking. You got to get rid of the stinking thinking. You got to submit your mind to the King of Kings, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. I want to set in this place just for a minute, but I'm going to go back in Philippians, just a few verses. I want to read you a whole thing, and then I'm going to talk to you a little bit about Paul, and then we're going to be done. Philippians 4, 4 through 9. Here we go. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever's true, whatever's honorable, whatever's just, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I love that he says practice them, because I feel like I'm practicing a lot. How many people feel like you're practicing a lot? Yeah, it's okay. It's what we're doing. We're practicing. When I consider the way we represent the kingdom, I do believe that the way we think determines the way we act. It determines the way we react. You see, when I was upset in traffic and I was anxious, it's because my mind told me, this guy is trying to beat the system. He's trying to get fast in that lane and then pass over into my lane. He's trying to take advantage of the system. That was my mind. My mind was playing tricks on me. We all have different variables and reasons that we struggle. Some of us have diagnosis, while others, possibly like me, just shifts in the seasons where I get down and stressed. Sometimes I even get a little anxious just after being in the foyer for a little bit. No offense, guys, I love you. But you know how it is, like big crowds kind of, I'm an extrovert, but sometimes I get out extroverted. It's weird. I'm learning to submit to the King. When I hear him say, I wouldn't say that. Tyler, you can come. When I hear him say, oh, why don't you just let him in? I'm submitting to him. And as I submit, as I let the King of Kings rule me, his kingdom comes. It changes the atmosphere of my heart. It changes those in close proximity. It changes those that I encounter, because I made a decision to be a kingdom person. I made a decision to follow the King of Kings. Though there's different levels in the way our mind's working, the truth is that all of our struggles are really fruit of this kingdom. You have to believe that true. If you believe that there's no sickness in heaven, then you have to believe that sickness is a fruit of this kingdom. As I was reading Philippians, I imagined Paul in prison. I know sometimes we're so low that it's like prison. I felt that before, where it's like I can't get control of my mind. But every time I remember what he said, he's writing this letter, actually in his lowest of lows. He has no reason to even feel joy, no reason to feel peace. He's in prison and he's writing a letter to the church to tell them how to have peace. There's this beautiful thing that happens when you're representing the kingdom, that in the low of your low, you overcome because you're writing the story to help someone else overcome. And so Paul is laying in prison, and he says, the first thing he says, rejoice. He doesn't say, God's bringing peace. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And hold on for a second. Let me say it one more time. Rejoice. And then I love it because then he says, God's near. Don't be anxious. I know it's easier said than done, but what if in those moments, no matter what degree of anxiety you feel, no matter what degree of stress you're feeling, what if you just said, hold on, I have a king. I forgot. I've got this king. And you rejoice. And again, you rejoice. And then you remember he's near. Sometimes you don't feel like he's near, but you know what? He is. It just is what it is. He's near. And then it says, don't be anxious. Don't let your mind be conformed to the things of this world. He says, pray, give thanks, let God know what you need, and his peace that we can't even understand will guard your heart and your mind. Sounds like a righteousness, peace, and joy kind of kingdom. If we're looking from the perspective of this kingdom, it's easy to think you have nothing to rejoice about. Paul had plenty to be anxious about. But he says, rejoice, be reasonable. I love that he says, let your reasonableness be known. Like, I'm like, what does that even mean? But then I realize all the times that I get worked up about stuff because I'm not being reasonable. What's reasonable in the kingdom of heaven is that God is near and that you have a king. There's several places in Scripture where we're instructed not to be anxious. Jesus actually says it in Matthew 6. Like, if you do the study that I asked you to do, 5, 6, and 7, Jesus talks about it. I've said it before, cast your cares on him. It must matter to the king. He talks about it so much. The battle in your mind must matter to your king. We all have different things that we've been affected by in this kingdom. Things that are said to us. I've seen that so many times. Like, even myself, like as an adult, you remember something somebody said to you when you were a kid and you didn't even realize that it had an impact on you. But you know what? That's fruit of this kingdom. That's not fruit of the kingdom of heaven. I want to offer you another way. Would you join me in asking yourself, because I've done it, is Jesus king? Is he really king, or do I just sing it? Is he really king of every area of my life, of the way I act, of the way I react, the way I think? Am I allowing him to be the king of my heart and my mind? Am I walking out a kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy? Is he the king in the way you see others? Is he the king in the way you see yourself? Like, how can you even see others right if you can't see yourself the way the king sees you? Would you stand? We're all trying to be more like the king than we were yesterday. When people encounter me, I want them to know that I'm not from here. I'm just passing through. Want to come along? You want to serve my king? This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. As we serve the king, we gain authority over this kingdom. You are given authority over this kingdom. When you walk into a place, when you serve the king, the atmosphere will change. If I respond like a king to my family, it changes the atmosphere around the Christmas tree. If I respond like a king in traffic, it changes the atmosphere on the road. If I respond like my king when I'm grocery shopping, it changes the atmosphere in the grocery store. If I respond like the king when I'm having dinner today or lunch today when I leave here, it changes the atmosphere. I'm not going to do an official altar call, but the altars are open. But if you would just bow your head to the king. And I'm going to pray for us. And I want you to pray to him. I want you to rejoice in him. I want you to know that he's near. I want you to not be anxious. I want you to tell him what you need and allow his peace. Allow his peace to guard your heart and mind. Jesus, we bow to you. Show us any area that we have actually hidden from your rule. Show us any area that we've actually said, no, Jesus ain't king of that. We are representatives of your kingdom. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.